If you're just joining us, this is Kenai Conversation on KDLL 91.9 FM, Kenai Soldotna. We're here with folks from the Kenai Soil and Water Conservation District, Heidi Che, Terry Diamond, and Lou Height. So I'd love to talk a little bit about some of the programs that you guys do as an organization. And first, just because we've kind of been inundated with COVID this last year, I'd love to talk a little bit about some of the relief programs that you guys at least have been advertising publicly or trying to get the word out about. Do you find that some of those funds from the federal government have been really helpful to folks? Did a lot of folks struggle during the pandemic? Kind of, can you characterize where we are now in terms of the effect the pandemic has had and maybe the mitigation that some of those relief funds have done, Heidi, maybe?
I can talk about that briefly. I think everyone knows that the pandemic has been very hard for small businesses as a whole, and particularly for our local restaurant scene. Farmers actually had a pretty good year last year because there was such strong interest in eating healthy food. We did not see a drop in business at the farmers markets. I think that on the whole, farmers did well. We did try hard to spread the word about all these pandemic relief programs that were coming out, especially April, May, June, early last year. And I answered as many questions as I could. I know Kenai Peninsula Economic Development District has carried the heavy load all year long, making sure that everybody was aware of those opportunities. I think there have been a handful of farm businesses that were able to take advantage of some of these relief programs, which were some of them really designed to help prevent the next disaster by allowing farms to build their infrastructure so that they could expand and be ready for the next thing that might come along. I think it's a fairly small percentage of our farms. I think in part it's because there's a resistance to paperwork and taking advantage of opportunities that might be available. But I do know a handful of folks that took advantage.
One of the problems with them is the level of documentation that are required.
One of the people who doesn't love paperwork.
No, I don't love paperwork at all. I have a part-time job in healthcare that is about 97% paperwork. And that's my paperwork quota.
Sure. I mean, on the contrary to, mentioning folks who've been struggling, I imagine there's also a lot of people who've kind of come into their own with farming this past year. Mm-hmm. Anecdotally, most people I know have started gardens this year. And so has that been something that you guys have also been focusing on, or have you found that there's been a lot of new pandemic era growers that have been kind of coming in and asking for help?
We know that there are lots of new gardeners, and we encourage everybody to get in touch with Central Peninsula Garden Club and tune into their Facebook page where you can ask a question and get your answer from lots of other experienced gardeners. They're really geared to helping beginning gardeners. I don't know of anybody that would start a garden and become a market gardener in a year. That's a years-long process, as we've just heard from Lou and Terry. You want to add on to that in any way?
Well, and I think that the food security piece that was created as a result of the pandemic, I think there was kind of, I don't want to say wake-up call, but kind of that was it. And, obviously, I'm sure anybody that's been to the grocery store has also noticed that our prices have increased up here in Alaska. And I think people are realizing through all the resources that are out there and that, something, I can do this. I can grow my own food. I can can my own food. I can process my own food. And I think there's just been a huge growth in interest on that, and that's a result, I do believe, of what we've experienced in the last year and the aftermath of that, like I said, with, economically speaking, and people are going, well, I think once they're doing it, at least some of the new farmers I've talked to, they're starting it, and they're so excited about it, and they're going, I can do this. I can grow my own food in Alaska. And we are so lucky because of all the resources we have here with our fisheries and everything else. And you can fill your freezer, and it's actually quite an easy thing to do. Well, not easy. I shouldn't say that. I shouldn't say easy. It takes some work, but it's a wonderful. So,
I do also want to mention the Double Up Farmers Market coupon program that was created as a direct result of the pandemic. So this time last year, Kenai Local Food Connection, which is a very close partner of Kenai Soil and Water Conservation District, was looking at the reality we're not going to be able to put on the Harvest Moon Local Food Festival in September because there's too much uncertainty about whether that will be possible to have a big crowd event, and it turned out it wasn't really possible. And so the energy that might, quite a bit of the energy that might have gone into that festival went instead to creating this Double Up program. And Kenai Local Food Connection raised money locally from a variety of sources to double the value of coupons that the state issues to income-qualified mothers with young children and income-qualified seniors so that they can take those coupons and shop at the farmers market to get healthy, fresh produce, fruit, honey, and herbs.
That sounds like a really important program.
And it's the kind of program that these programs have proven successful all over the country, but we haven't been able to have one here. So the pandemic was the impetus to get that going. And thanks to the food bank in particular, they're the central partner there that administers the funds and reimburses the farmers. And thanks to the farmers who participate in these state programs, it requires a little bit of paperwork and, you know, an hour of training in order to participate in the WIC and Senior Farmers Market Nutrition Program. So the program will continue this summer and will be expanded, and we hope it will be sustainable for the future.
And then there's also the, what's the name of the program that Willow put together with the food box?
The Healthy Food Boxes program. Yeah. This is another initiative of Kenai Local Food Connection, and Kenai Local Food Connection partnered with Willow, Where It's At Mindful Food and Drink, to provide weekly boxes of healthy food, healthy whole foods that included Alaska grains, Alaska barley flour and whole barley, and other grains and lentils and that sort of thing, and as much Alaska produce as possible. And the that went on for about, I'm going to say, 8 weeks midwinter. There was not, so when I say Alaska produce midwinter, that's root vegetables plus other imported fresh produce. And that program was successful, and Kenai Local Food Connection has just received word that they will get funding from the Soldotna, the most recent Soldotna CARES Act program. And so the Healthy Food Boxes program will resume July 1st through September 18th, which is the date of Harvest Moon Local Food Festival this year. And they'll be able to serve, I believe, around 24 Soldotna area families with a weekly food box.
And that also includes a pressure cooker and instructions on how to keep this stuff.
Great.
Lots of recipes from Willow.
That's exciting. Yeah. Love Where It's At. Such good food. Terry, you mentioned kind of self-sufficiency. Lou, you used the word homestead before, and I've got to ask, what does homesteading kind of look like in the modern day? When you talk about homesteading, when we talk about self-sufficiency and people growing their own produce in this age of very easily accessible farmers markets or CSAs even, and kind of how would you characterize what maybe it looks like to homestead in Alaska nowadays? Lou?
What we did was to buy a piece of harvested over timberland. It was a pretty big piece of land. It was more than we really needed, but it was a good price. And we cut down a bunch of trees and churned up a bunch of soil and worked in compost and beer manufacturing waste and some manure from our pigeons and chickens, and turned this otherwise, I won't call it wasteland, but it was second growth forest. It wasn't producing anything very economically viable. And we've turned a big chunk of it into something that does produce a decent amount of vegetables and increasingly a decent number of meat birds every year.
And your own energy supply.
Oh, yeah, we do our own energy. We've got a well. We've got a solar energy system in the backyard. We're quite off-grid. And considering that we're only about 150 feet from the end of the power pole, people might wonder why. I'm not going to say anything mean about Homer Electric right now, but their pricing system for installing power was discouraging. So we put in a solar system as well. So mm-hmm. we are really quite self-sufficient. Mm-hmm. And you know, the wheels could fall off and our piece of the cart would keep on rolling along.
Mm. Well, I mean, you live in Nikiski. And Terry, I believe you live in Sterling. So the peninsula and the area you guys cover is pretty large. I mean, do the kind of practices the advice that you give to folks, does it really differ across, you know, each town? Is there a lot of information that's very regional on a very micro scale that you kind of have to deal with?
Yes. The soils, pay attention to the soil map on your piece of property, because that will tell you what you can grow successfully. Mm. People in Kisilov have sandy soil and they grow beautiful asparagus. We don't. Our asparagus looks like shoestrings.
That's really funny. That's good to know. So for folks who don't know, how does one access a soil map of their area?
It's online now.
You would go to Web Soil Survey. Is the online version of the USDA produced soil maps, and you can go on there and pull up your own piece of property and see all the types of soil that you have. And then you're probably going to want to Soldotna silt loam is our ideal, great, best for agriculture soil on the Kenai Peninsula. But wherever you are, you're going to want to. We've heard you need to amend your soil by bringing in additional organic matter. So we consistently encourage people to get a soil test to tell them more about the current condition of their soil, and to find out more about what your baseline soil type means for you. You can consult with the folks at Natural Resources Conservation Service or Casey Matney over at UAF Cooperative Extension, and those are lots of great resources here for that.
Sure. So, and of course, as we were kind of talking about before we started, the district doesn't just, there's other focuses that you guys kind of have in terms of invasive plants and salmon habitat. Can you talk about any of those programs, or maybe Terry, are there any other sort of programs that the district's working on in other realms of invasive plants or salmon habitat that are exciting to you, or I'm sure you're learning all about all this as kind of the job progresses, but anything in particular that you're excited about?
Well, I was out last week doing a project. I was really excited about it. It was a riverbank restoration project and a cost share project through the Fish and Wildlife Service. And so I volunteered to go down there, and or they have several volunteers that go down, and we restored the riverbank to help with the salmon habitat and the erosion that's occurring in a lot of different areas on the Kenai that impact that salmon habitat. And we have another project that we're just starting down in Seward. We're just starting to get going on that, and that is a culvert project up on Nash Road. So we're working with that a little bit and just getting design ideas and survey ideas in collaboration with our partner Fish and Wildlife Service. And, there's some soil workshops that I'll be taking, and hopefully we'll be offering in the future down here on the Kenai for folks who want to learn more about soil and what's going on.
Do you want to say a few words about the cover crop trials that Kenai Soil and Water is doing in conjunction with all the other soil and water conservation districts?
Absolutely. It's really exciting. We have a piece of land out on DeVille that a homeowner has allowed us to use, and we'll be planting a variety of cover crops on that property to... and then collecting the data on what kind of biomass that they contribute, how fast they grow, when they seed out, those types of things. And that cover crop adds a lot of nutrients to your soil. So being able to find the correct cover crop for your type of soil and for your growing period or for whatever. So this data, it's a two-year project, and it'll help us provide information to landowners on what they need to plant to supplement their soils. So it's a great thing, and we will be having a day in August, late July or August, where we'll be inviting the public to come out and look at what is going on in that field and looking at the cover crops that we've planted, and we'll have experts out there talking a little bit about which one is growing best in that area. So, yeah, it's really an exciting thing. And yeah, we're partnering with NRCS on that. So it'll be great.
That's very exciting. Lou, I also know you're working a bit with the Borough Resilience and Security Advisory Commission. Can you talk a little bit about what that commission does and how it kind of relates to the work that maybe you do with the district?
I can only talk a very little bit. I was just named to it, and I am certainly not knowledgeable enough to be a spokesperson.
Well, congratulations on being part of it.
But it has to do with, one of the things that they're worried about, talking about, is managing the beetle kill waste stream into the landfill. I'm on the agricultural committee, but the committee hasn't had a meeting yet, so I really don't know what I'm doing. But I've got a whole lot of ideas that once I no longer feel like such a newbie, I will be happy to propose.
Well, I'm excited to hear what that experience is like. It's always fun working with people from all over the peninsula to kind of collaborate. That's going to be a cool experience, I think.
Well, my territory, in quotes, is Nikiski, Tionic, and Hope. So one of the things that's on my
list... Very diverse set of places.
One of the things that's on my list for the next week or so is to write to the people, to the governments of Tionic and Hope, and tell them that, you know, this is what I am, and I want to know what are their concerns, especially in the area of agriculture. But, I really think it would be remiss for me to stick my neck out and say that I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that until I know what people want and what actually is the purview of what I'm doing. It's to help the borough plan to deal with matters having to do with resilience, that is surviving a disaster, and sustainability, that is not making a big mess of what you're already doing. And, we've got all this beetle kill. Kenai Soldatna, my gosh, it's horrifying. I mean, how many trees got cut down in the lot over at Soil and Water? At Trading Bay Court, there were about 15 trees, I think, came down.
Yeah, beautiful trees.
Yeah. Well,
everywhere you look, there's those ribbons tied around the trees, and yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this beetle kill outbreak has been very, very bad, and one of the things I'm concerned about is that some time ago when we got a Firewise clearing on our property, which is something that I think everybody ought to look into, I was told that it's not a matter of if, but when, in the Nikiski area.
Yeah, were there any folks during the 2019 fires whose farms kind of were destroyed by those fires, or was that part of the collateral damage for anybody, or not so much?
You know, for me being in Sterling and I'm very close to the refuge area out there. Probably luckily there was no. I wasn't that close to the fire, but I had a lot of smoke. And that actually did impact my growing because of that smoke shield in the sky all the time. So it wasn't severe, but there, you know, there was a lot of sunny days that the sun didn't shine through. So it was an interesting, it was just to watch how that impact, it was kind of interesting to see how that affected the crops a little bit.
And besides the effect on the crops, the effect on the people that tend the crops, because you really can't work outdoors in that smoke that's that dense.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah.
The farming community was fortunate in that I don't think any farms were destroyed or even significantly impacted except by the smoke. But boy, it was by the skin of the teeth.
Sure, and it creates such, as you said, an inhospitable environment for people to be outside and to be working.
Yeah. Now, mm-hmm. mushroom people had a ball last spring with the, yeah. the morels.
And they are again, I think.
Yeah.
Is it time?
It's pretty close.
Okay.
Yes.
So, and we've talked a little bit about some crops specifically. We mentioned asparagus. Someone mentioned peonies. Are there any particular crops that are on the rise here or that you see kind of, you know, growing in popularity? It'd be fun to kind of talk about the specifics if you've heard of anything that's becoming particularly popular. Heidi?
Well, there is this leafy plant that's grown in controlled conditions quite a bit that's become very popular in the weed family. peonies, as I said, what we're seeing now is the maturing of peony farms that were established years ago, and the maturing of them, you know, we have a Nikiski peony farm, Cool Cash Farms. They've gone on their own marketing trip to Asia and established their markets, direct markets in Vietnam and elsewhere, quite impressive. And they're not alone in, there's another very large up-and-coming peony farm right over here just between Kenai and Soldotna. Rhodiola continues to be an interesting crop with promise. It's a medicinal plant. It survives really crummy soil. It should grow in anything. But the farmers who have experimented with it have struggled with weed control. And if you could figure out how to grow that, it's a very valuable medicinal plant and a lot of global potential. And those are the ones that come to mind for me, along with aquaculture. Hemp. There's a lot of interest in the industrial hemp. Now, the Division of Agriculture has mm-hmm. devoted a lot of energy to getting our Alaska statutes in order to be able to grow hemp experimentally. So I know there are folks who have tried it on very small scale on the peninsula. The challenge there is to figure out what kind of hemp-related product you're growing for, because there are dozens, if not hundreds, of different products that can be produced from hemp, and they each require their own kind of processing machinery, which we don't have at this point. So those are kind of the up-and-coming things that
and
I can
think apples,
of.
I think that I'm seeing a lot more fruit trees.
Oh, that's true. We have a very active mm-hmm. Kenai Peninsula fruit growers group.
Yeah, yeah, and a lot of people are growing those in high tunnels.
Mm-hmm.
Is that relatively new?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're seeing a lot, and you're seeing it grow. Mm-hmm. I'm seeing it grow. There are a couple of orchards outside as well, but I think that there's newer varieties that are coming out that will withstand our cold winters. So people are dabbling in that quite a bit.
And that's supported by the Alaska Division of Agriculture Plant Materials Center. They have ongoing variety trials in a lot of the crops that we've mentioned, including asparagus and apple trees, and figuring out what is going to grow best in our climate.
We have a few minutes left, and one of the last things I want to talk about is I know there are a lot of ways for people who are somewhat new to growing and farming to kind of learn from others and soak up all the kind of institutional knowledge and advice that folks have, like you guys help put on the Farm and Food Fridays.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also, I know in the past you've done farm equipment rentals.
Mm-hmm. So, no, that's an ongoing project.
Oh, great.
Program for sure with Kenai Feed.
So for people listening who maybe are trying to get started or who are trying to grow their enterprise a bit, are there any specific programs that the district puts on that you'd like to kind of throw out there?
Well, Definitely the rental program at Kenai Feed is worth mentioning. If you're a startup farmer and you need to till up some ground, there's a variety of equipment available there for rent that's specifically geared toward small-scale farmers. Our most recent acquisitions were a single-row potato planter, a single-row potato harvester, and a root crop washer. But those are huge labor-saving devices, and they could use be utilized by many individuals. There's some upcoming events that I think would be also valuable in addition to people who are interested in farming. We'll resume Farm and Food next fall. That's a monthly informal networking meetup. But between now and then, our partners at 4-H Cooperative Extension Service are putting on the first ever Kenai Peninsula Ag Expo. They're partnering with City of Soldotna to put on a 3-day event at the Soldotna Sports Center. That's August 6th, 7th, and 8th. And Harvest Moon Local Food Festival is returning this year after a one-year hiatus, and that will be Saturday, September 18th at Soldotna Creek Park. That's the biggest farmers market of the year, and lots of organizations are there, including Cooperative Extension and Alaska Farmers Market Association and Kenai Soil and Water Conservation District doing outreach to the public. Lots of free educational activities for kids and families, and lots of cooking demonstrations, food preservation demonstrations, and wild plant foraging hikes and all of that kind of thing. So those are things that I would put on my calendar if I were interested.
And really quickly, you mentioned activities for kids, and I'm curious, do you find that there are a lot of young people kind of getting into farming and producing locally? Does it tend to be kind of a field dominated more by older folks, or are you guys able to kind of incorporate more young people into it?
And Lou has a great example of that. Oh, Terry too. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just thinking, Lou and I were both at the Alaska Women in Ag, and there was some incredible young people that were doing things that were just amazing. There was one down southeast that was the one that was working off-grid, and then they transport their goods to Petersburg by boat. Just incredible farm. Quite a few young people attending these kind of activity or these kind of conferences to find out more information. It was really exciting to see, and the ideas that came from that, it's just amazing. You know, goats and sheep and chickens and cows and everything else. So yeah.
Well, it helps to be in your 20s or 30s when you're starting something like this, mm-hmm. Because it's physically intense. Mm-hmm. It takes the kind of enthusiastic dedication that a crotchety old goat like me probably doesn't have. Although I started young enough to still have some enthusiasm, and I love what I'm doing. But you see it with kids. A few years ago, the school district was partnering, and they had the gardens at some of the elementary schools, and some of them are still ongoing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Montessori has got a beautiful, beautiful garden that they have. I believe Terry Carter maybe is heading that up. Does a great job, and hopefully we can resume some of the agriculture in the classroom as we move forward. There was some programs, but getting kids interested and getting them out there, and they love to be out there and in the dirt and digging around and seeing things grow.
Sure.
And yeah.
Yeah, I think it was elementary school in the Kasilof area, I believe, had a garden where the children were growing willow slips to work with the stream bank. Mm-hmm.
That's Testamina Elementary, and yeah. Kenai Soil and Water helped get the funds and the labor and the machinery to mm-hmm. and the willows to get that started. Yeah. Wild plant garden.
Yeah, well, so even little kids can get really involved. I know a 10-year-old who started a chicken business. She's cool.
That's a great place to leave. That's about all the time we have, so we're going to leave it here. Heidi, thank you for all the work you've done with the district. We'll miss you. And Terry, you're so excited to see you take on this role. It's been great to have you all here. And Lou, thank you for being here as well. This is the Kenai Conversation. You can find this whole conversation online. I'm Sabine Pooks. Thanks for tuning in.